Run, Scott, run! Welcome, everyone. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast with Scott Whitney and Pimpin' Wayne. At least I hope Pimpin' Wayne's on the show. My name's Ray Flavin, and I am
running for
state's attorney somewhere that is way east of Las Vegas. Illinois. Welcome, and I'd like to take a moment to introduce a guy that really doesn't need any introduction, Mr. Scott Whitney.
Boom. Living in Las
Vegas. Thank you, Ray.
Starts now.
You're pretty awesome.
Ray Flavin, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Yeah, here we go.
Down, Coda, down. Down, get down. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
A singer, but a
Mr.
singer.
Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network.
Thank you.
Oh, you're a lovely, but thank you especially. And by the way, congratulations, because you're listening to or watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Las Vegas, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here. Nope. We're going to talk about some adventures on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, well, this show's like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy and happening in this here town. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Hey, come on in, be a part of the show. Get yourself in the live chat. Groovy people in that live chat, folks from all over the place. Hell, we got them from Las Vegas and Henderson, California, New York. Let's see, where else do I see them? Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, Oregon, Georgia, Canada, Arizona, Florida, or Ohio. Yeah, some of these people showing up an hour before the show. And the cool thing about being in the live chat, besides having their own segment, is that we do a little bit of a pre-show stuff. So we start the show at 7 o'clock, but we start streaming maybe 15 minutes or so. And then after the show is done, after the people who are watching or listening to this as a podcast, after that's done, oh, we're still on. We're still hanging out. Maybe for another half hour, 45 minutes, and then the things that I couldn't say in the show, I do say during the post show. So get on over there and have some fun with us. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network. So on behalf of my show, thanks for watching. On behalf of all of the shows on the Vegas Video Network, we certainly appreciate your patronage. Or over an hour, or over and under today, I think we're going to go short. Let's do 63... and a hook. Oh, stop that. I forgot. I want to say thanks to Ray. Ray Flavin did that opening intro. He wants to be your state's attorney over at the Illinois, was it McCarran County? I forget, but you should check him out. He's got the best t-shirts any political candidate has ever had in his entire life. If nothing else, order a Ray Flavin t-shirt. Okay, my work here is done. McHenry County. So one of the things that I think is interesting for folks who either live here or come here often is to find things to do in Las Vegas that aren't overly Las Vegas-y. Now, if you are a tourist and you're the typical tourist, which means that you come here, I don't know, every few years. And when you're here for 3.5 days, you want to do the Las Vegas stuff, right? You want to go see a Cirque show and you want to eat at a great restaurant and you want to go to a groovy bar. I mean, and you should do that. That's great. But the people who tend to listen to our show or watch our show tend to come to Vegas more often than that. And we have a lot of locals who watch or listen to our show as well. So the idea is, what can you do that's not overly Vegas-y, that kind of separates from that stuff? And it can be hard to do. Well, I had a chance to take a tour of Topgolf Las Vegas this last weekend. Actually, it wasn't a formal tour. I just went and walked around with Melissa and was interested by what they were doing. My initial thought of Topgolf was, this is a place that if you're a golfer, it probably makes sense, but it probably doesn't make sense otherwise. And as I come to find out, that's just not the truth. So a little bit of background on Topgolf. First of all, it was opened this year on May 19th, 2016. It's located on the corner of Harmon and Koval. So it's behind MGM. Now, if you go into MGM Grand, you'll find that there is Topgolf advertising throughout MGM Grand. So I don't know if that is a marketing partnership or if it's a financial partnership. I don't know. But there is some kind of thing going on there. Arguably, one of the smartest things that Topgolf has from a PR perspective is their location. In that, if you fly into Vegas, there's a couple ways to fly in. One of them is flying in from the north going south. And if you do that, you fly right on top of this thing. So talk about free PR. It's pretty cool. So what is it? So the thing it's known most about is these space. First of all, here's a picture of the outside of top. Oops, that's not what I wanted to show you. Lied to you. Nope. Let's get this one up there instead. Attaboy, Big Scotty. So this is what the outside of Topgolf looks. You can see the three signature towers, the MGM signature towers right behind it right there. And so Melissa and I were like, okay, we are going to go check this place out and see what's what. So here are just some of the numbers just to get a sense for the size of this place. So it has 108 hitting bays, climate-controlled hitting bays. There are two pools, a cabana. There is a couple places for musical performances, and I'll show you those in a minute. One for very large concerts and one for smaller, intimate bands. Both are pretty cool. They've got VIP suites, five bars. It's 105,000 square feet. And guess, all right, live chat, 105,000 square feet. How many employees do you think they have at Topgolf? I will give you a moment. Ah, 25, 150, 10, 5, 23, 110, 4. That's funny. 200. All right, the answer, get ready for this. They have 1,000 employees. 1,000 employees at Topgolf. That means for every 100 square feet, there is an employee. That is fantastic from a service perspective. Not sure how great it is from a profitability perspective. Okay, so let's check this place out. So we walk on in there. Here's the outside part. You pull up into that area. It's a little bit blocked off more than what you're seeing there. And the first thing I noticed, we went on a Saturday, as they had valet parking. Ooh. Valet parking at an MGM place. Is that going to be horrible? No. Hallelujah. No. A valet parking, $5. Completely reasonable. So before I even got in there, I'm like, okay, these guys haven't been drinking the MGM Kool-Aid. $5 valet parking, that's awesome. And they also have, you know, regular parking there, and they've got parking in the back as well, and they've got a shuttle bus coming in from far away parking. But we just did valet, $5, hell, you can't beat that. So you walk in, you actually walk up into the second floor of this property. So here is the different floors that they have here. So it shows you the level one. They've got what they call the Riv Bar and the Callaway Fitting Studio and the meeting area. When people come in off the street, they have no access to level one. So that's more for, you know, just what it says, meetings and special kinds of events. So level two, which is where you walk in on, they have the Birdie Bar, the Yard, and the Pro Shop, and I'll show you that. Level three and four is a pool cabana. And level three and four are also some bars and some lounges. So as you walk in here, the first thing, of course, that you're going to notice is, you know, what does all this stuff cost? So the play here is they have different pricing depending upon the time and day. So for the first and second floor, so for people walking off the street, second floor, it's as low as $30 if you go from 9 a.m. to noon on a Monday through Thursday, and as high as $75 if you're on a Friday or Saturday from 5 p.m. to close. And there's a range all through that. It's more expensive if you go to the higher floors. So floor three, then you're going to be paying as low as $45 Monday through Thursday, open till noon, versus 30. And then Friday, Saturday, 5 p.m. to noon or to closing, it's 90. And that's what we paid, by the way. So we were there Saturday night. We got there about 6 or so. We started doing the golf thing about 7:30 or so. So we ended up spending $90 for the bay. Okay, so now you're walking in, and the first thing you see is this, what you saw here before. Yeah, right there, the yard. So this is the yard here, and this is just what it sounds like. It's a very large open space. And if you look, you can see there's these giant screens, and I mean monstrous screens, up on the wall. And imagine if you're watching, you know, football or baseball. There's actually five of them. There's a big, massive one in the middle and two on either side. Now, here's what's really interesting about this space. And at first blush, here's another look at that space, by the way. That's looking from that wall, looking out over the driving range. So if you look at the space here where it says Topgolf underneath that monitor, what they do for musical performances is they build a stage underneath that. And I mean a big stage. I think the guy was saying it's 16 feet wide. In other words, it comes out from the wall 16 feet and 30 feet wide, 16 feet from the wall, which is massive, massive. So House Seats Presents is actually going to be doing a show there, Rocky Horror Picture Show. And we might work with them on this. And the idea is they're going to show the Rocky Horror Picture movie up there where you see Topgolf. And then when it comes to the musical performances, I'm going to stream their live performances, which will be on the stage below, up on that screen up there. How cool is that? I think that's fantastic. All right, so you're still going by. It's very clean, very nicely lit. There's a lot of cool lighting there. It's a pretty cool bar-like vibe. And as you move, as you keep going forward, actually, let me see if I've got this shot here, because there's something that confused some people. So if you look back at this picture again, by the way, people who are listening to the audio, this is a good example of, you know, maybe wanting to check out the video as well. At the center middle of that picture, you'll see what looks like a bunch of doors, a bunch of glass doors. And what's happening, it seems like, is some people think it's closed off, that you're not allowed to go there. But actually, they want you to go in there. Because what it leads to is this, a cool, really cool little lounge area. So we happen to see a live band playing there after a few hours after we were there. It's a nice stage. It's very intimate. Really good sound. I was pretty surprised by how good the sound was. And there's a really large bar. You can probably see it. I can't see it. No, it's hard to see in those pictures. Right next to that as well. Is that the bar? No, that's not it. So that's on the second floor. So then we went up. There's an elevator. We went to the third floor. Third floor. And just to remind you guys, boop, third floor. Third floor. Lingerie. So third floor, we've got pools and cabanas, right? And also you've got, you know, more bars and more lounge stuff. So if you go to the third floor, let's get on up there. Boop. The first thing I noticed is, you know, a really nice bar right by this pool. And you can see the pool off to the left there slightly. And if I go up towards the fourth floor, now you can see both pools. So you see the main pool, which is right by the bar. And it's a swim-up bar, by the way. You can swim right up to the bar. And then above that, they've got kind of a cantilever pool where the sides of the pool are plexiglass. So you can see the folks who are swimming. And if I move my camera, you can see that they've got a humongous screen up against the wall right by the pool. So again, Sunday football kind of thing. Pretty good time, I would expect. And then here's another picture of that bar by the pool. We actually spent some time there. We had some really good food, actually, and had a couple drinks, good drinks, at this bar, which is the pool bar. And as you can see from this shot, it looks right out over the driving range again. So we kind of hung out there for a while and just thought, okay, that's cool. And we actually didn't plan to do the golf thing. We just wanted to see what it was like. It was actually pretty just top of the mind. We were just kind of hanging out and thinking, well, let's just, let's go to Topgolf. Now, Melissa had been there that week before for the big LinkedIn conference. Some people were there. And so it was pretty sexy. So we went there and just hung out. And I'm like, you know what? This golfing thing, and as you'll see pretty soon, I'm not a golfer, but this golfing thing looks pretty fun. Let's go check this out. I do want to show you one more bar, another lounge that's up on the third floor. So here is what you see if you're in one of these bays. One of these hitting bays, they call them. And what's interesting here is what they're doing with what is, in essence, a driving range. You know, the story behind this is that the owners didn't really much. They were actually at a driving range and they were bored. And so they were like, what can we do to make this interesting? So what they've done is if you look out on that picture, you'll see that this is not just a regular driving range with, you know, bunkers and that's it. If you look, you'll see these circles, big holes throughout the driving range. Now, this driving range is about 215 yards long. And what these holes are giant golf holes. So they're not about this big. They're not as big as they're about 20 feet, 30 feet wide. And then what they do, think of it as a pie. So think of a pie cut in quarters and then concentric circles cut on top of those quarters. But instead of quarters, what you see here is how this is laid out. So if you can see the little red circles, those are the close chipping circles. That's right by the bays. And then the yellow ones are farther out than that green one, then the brown one, then the blue one, and then the gray one. At the very end there, you can see they've got a number of holes that are 215 yards. So the way the game works is that you, and they basically what they've done is they gamified a driving range, which is brilliant. So you hit the ball, and the ball goes into, hopefully, one of the segments into one of these giant holes. And then you get points depending on how close you are to the center of that particular hole, whether it's the green, the brown, the yellow, the gray, the whatever it is. And what happens is when you do that, then your score shows up. It's very much like bowling. So the question is, how on earth are they able to track that? Well, so here's the bay that we shot out of. We were in bay, I think it was 330. So it's a little bit off to the side. If you look to the side there, you'll see the bottom. You'll see a map of the different holes. And you can't really see it in that. You can't see it in that shot, can you? Oh, yeah, you can, barely. Lower right corner, there's a little LED light that you take your putter or your driver or whatever you're using, and you wave it over this light, and then a ball comes out. And here is the magic of this. How on earth did they score this? Well, there's an RFID chip inside of every single ball. So when it's your turn, and I'll explain how that works in a minute. So it's my turn. I wave my putter or my driver over there, not putter, my driver, and the ball comes out, and they have assigned that ball to my next shot. So now I hit it, and they wait to see if that ball ends up in one of those big circles out there. And if it does, well, a score shows up. It is frickin' magic what these guys are doing. Melissa and I were like, we'll hang out for an hour. We were an hour into it. We just got into our second game. We're like, nah, we'll extend. We're having a great time. And so it's kind of like bowling, like I think I said, but instead of 10 frames, you get 20 shots. And if the ball is hit and it just ends up on the green area somewhere, in other words, on the grass, but not going into a hole, well, then you don't get any points. If it ends up, you know, in a special one of those segment things, well, you might get double on the next hit. So they've completely gamified this. Now, there's a couple things that I wasn't super happy about. mildly unhappy. And that is, you have to have a membership. But the membership is $5. The idea behind that is they want to be able to have you come in and just show your card or use your membership number, and you just get right in. They remember. You can also log in to their website and see your scores. Now, my scores were horrible, but it didn't really matter. I had a really good time. Now, when Melissa was there before us, she actually had a pro come by her group and provide some instructions. So Melissa provided me those instructions, and that was super helpful as well. I will show you now the embarrassing demonstration of me trying to hit a golf ball at Top Golf.
Okay, so the first one didn't go as well as I'd like. Now I'm ready.
Yeah, the first one was a major shank, and I didn't want to share that with you guys. Look at that form, fantastic. So I'm being told that, see that my left foot going up? Apparently, that's not good form. But watch the ball. Boom!
That looked good. It sounded good.
It's actually, it's a little harder on.
Yeah, so the one thing that was hard about that, by the way, just a brilliant shot, I thought. The one thing that was kind of tough at night was it was a little hard to see the flight of the ball. We got there at just before dusk. So while we were watching people, and man, there are some great golfers there, you could watch the flight of the ball. But at that point, when it was dark outside, it was much harder to see really what was going on. It wasn't terrible. I mean, one time, the farthest I hit a ball that was tracked was 172 yards. I actually sent one farther, but it didn't land in one of those circles. So there was no measurement of it. But the one of them I hit, I think it was the 172, I lost it. I didn't see where it went. And I'm like, has anybody seen my ball? And which you never want to see in a sauna. And then it showed up on the little, you know, the thing on the screen. I'm like, 172, that seems pretty good. I don't know if that's good or not, but, you know, 172 yards, I will take. So I got to tell you, this is probably one of the coolest things that are happening in Las Vegas right now. Now, you know, the challenge that everybody has, regardless of where they build stuff, is if it's on the east side, which this is, then people on the west side don't want to go. And vice versa. So, you know, I bet you there's not a lot of people in Henderson or the east side who are heading off over to downtown Summerlin. And my guess is they probably haven't got a lot of people at Top Golf who are getting visitors from Summerlin. So the one thing I did notice, though, that there's kind of a shortcut to get there, or at least a less pain in the ass way to get there. So most people, when they drive from the west to the east across the strip, they use one of the major places. So Flamingo, Tropicana, that kind of deal, down in that area. But that's horrible. That traffic will, you know, make you want to kill somebody. The cool way to get to this place is, if you're coming from the west, is to go over Harmon. So go over Harmon, which takes you, you know, through City Center and across the strip, that really giant intersection at Harmon Las Vegas Boulevard. But once you get past that, man, you just cruise up past the back of, what is that? The Planet Hollywood on the left. And the next thing you know, you're right on top of it. You go by the signature towers, and right to your right is, there it is, Top Golf. And you make a right on Koval, and you're there. Now, here's another one. Ray is saying Desert Inn to Koval. Yeah, so if you're north of that area, Desert Inn is a fan. No, actually, you can't do that. Desert Inn doesn't work, Ray, because Desert Inn, if you're going west on Desert Inn, it takes you all the way to Paradise. So you don't want to do that. Actually, I was thinking about doing that, but it goes too far east, and then you have to backtrack. So that's not as great as being able to do it right through Harmon. All right, so should you go? Yeah, I think you should go. I think it's a fantastic place to hang out, and I think I will go back. Hell, maybe we'll do some kind of meetup there. Who knows? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. Okay, it's time for listener email. It's easy for you to do that, by the way. If you want me to answer your question, you're going to send the email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. This email comes from Benjamin McGovern from Guam, we're going to say. All right. Hello, Scott. First off, I very much enjoy your podcast. I like its laid-back style and enjoy the discussions about the city. Laid back. Yeah, when people think of me, I get a lot of that. Oh, yeah, that Scott guy. He's super laid back. But I have to pump it up for many. All right. A dream of mine is to one day buy a vacation condo in Vegas with the idea of eventually moving into it full time. I'd probably Airbnb it for a while until I moved in again full time. I have looked online, and there are lots of interesting choices either on the Strip or downtown. My question to you would be, if you were going to buy a vacation home in Vegas, what would be your deciding factors? Have you talked to people that have done this in the past? And what have their experiences been, both positive and negative? Regards, Benjamin McGovern. Well, thank you there, Benny, for hanging out and sending us an email. This is a very good question. Not surprisingly, a lot of people look at Vegas as a retirement place, but also a second home, a vacation thing. So what would I care about? Well, my first decision would be based upon location, which is the real estate mantra, location, location, location. So it really depends a great deal on what it is that you're trying to do. So if you are somebody who really digs the Las Vegas Strip, gambly, restaurant-y, bar kind of vibe, entertainment kind of vibe, well, then I'd look at one of the condos up and down the Strip, of which there are several. If I were more inclined to do the kind of bohemian downtown-y kind of thing, there's a couple condos down there. There's the Loft and Ogden, and I'm not a huge fan of that vibe, but there are a number of people who have moved there. Ogden, for a long time, was a lease only, rental only, and I think it was about a year or 2 years ago, I think, that they converted it into buyable units. They have been selling the crap out of it. Well, they've been advertising the crap out of it for a long time, so I'm assuming they still have a lot of openings there. But if you prefer the downtown vibe, that's the play. On the other hand, I know people. As a matter of fact, there's somebody in the live chat, and if they want to talk about it, let me know and I'll bring it up. But somebody in the live chat had a house here, but they were neither downtown or on the Strip. They were in the suburbs. And I will tell you, one of the great things about Las Vegas is we are world class in the things to do, but we're not world class in the cost to do them, especially the housing cost. I mean, the average, I forget what the average selling price of a house is now, but I'm going to guess it's probably around $230,000 plus or minus 10%. That's not bad. That's for, you know, typically a 3 or 4 bedroom, 2 beds, a 4-2. I mean, come on. In a city that has all this stuff, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to get a house for that much of a house for such a low amount of money. But it really depends on what you want to do. Now, if I was going to be using this as an income play that I wanted to do Airbnb, well, then I would strongly lean towards being close to the Strip. Because clearly, if I am on vacation, most people who are on vacation want to do something around the strip. So I would let that help me decide. The next thing I'd want to know is, what are the HOAs or other fees associated with the property? So I was looking at, when I first thought about starting the Vegas Video Network, I thought about doing it at Newport Lofts until I saw how much the HOAs were. The HOAs were $500 a month. That's just the HOAs. You don't get to write that shit off, I don't think. And it actually doesn't even matter. It's just crazy how much that would cost. So it may not have been allowable just because it was a business either, but I thought $500 for that, that's nuts. And I'm not sure that's super unusual. Now, I don't know what the HOAs of other condos around here are, but my guess is they're equal or higher, given that Newport Lofts is it's a very nice property, but it's not the best of these places. But you've got to watch for HOAs in other places as well. So, you know, but a lot of communities here have HOAs. And some are high and some are low. Like mine, in the house I'm in today, Arches, is actually lower than the house I had before because I lived in Aliante, which is a master plan community. So a master plan community has a fee for the master plan community and then another HOA fee for the neighborhood itself. So I paid two, whereas this one, I'm not in a master plan community. I just have a single HOA. And then there are things called SIDs, which are fees, special district or something or other, where you're paying to help develop that area in the first place. Where I used to live at Aliante had one of those. So I had, you know, two HOAs and this SID that had nothing to do with me buying my house. So I would look at what it costs, what fees are involved with that. So Greg in the live chat's asking, are there fees in Summerlin? It depends on where you live. I'm not sure if there is a SID for Summerlin or not. My guess is, though, that there's probably two fees. There's a Summerlin fee and a property improvement district fee. That's right. Thank you, Ted. And so as long as you think about location, the fees, what you want to do, and what you're hoping to accomplish with it from a rental perspective, that's how I would decide. So you didn't really give any indication of what it is that you were trying to accomplish, but I would say that this is a great place to do it. It still is a great place to do it. You know, we had our housing market here was stupid in 2006. You know, the house we had in Aliante appreciated $100,000 in 6 months. Which was pretend money. And Melissa was like, this is pretty neat. I'm like, nope, this is not pretty neat. Something's really wrong here. Something's going to go bad. It has corrected in a big way, as everybody knows. And now I still think it's pretty reasonable here. So I like it here. I like that's the other thing. You have to decide if you like the weather here, because it does get hot and it does get cold. So if you're going to be here as a snowbird, which a lot of folks do, now, remember that in December, it gets below freezing in the winter here. So if that surprises you, and it surprised me, then, you know, why is there ice on the top of my pool? That's not what I signed up for. Well, if you don't want ice on the top of your pool, well, then you probably shouldn't come to Vegas because it gets cold here in the winter. If you don't like wind, you shouldn't come to Vegas because, you know, it's windy as hell here at times. So you've got to be comfortable with the weather. And if you're going to retire, then you're not looking for a job, then you're cool there. But know where you want to be location. Look for your other fees. What do you want to do with it? Are you going to turn it around? Are you going to rent it out? Or are you going to live here? And, you know, and think about it long term. 20 years, do I want to live on the strip in a condo for 20 years? Or do I want to be 10 minutes from the strip, but kind of get away from the madness that is? I think that's the deal for you guys. Okay, real quick stories. First of all, again, thanks to Ray for sending in that fantastic video. You can tell the guy's a professional podcaster, can't you? He's pretty neat. Anyways, I would love for you guys to do the same if you could send a video. Just take your phone, put it in the landscape mode. Just give me your name, where you're from, and say, hey, you're watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. You can say anything you want. Even if it's profane, I'm not afraid of it. All right, I'm going to give you another review. I've been putting this one off for, probably 4 or 5 weeks now. A quick one. I had a chance to go check out a new restaurant in the Boca Park area. So this is Summerlin. Restaurant's called the Mix Grill and Lounge. So this is where Gordon Biersch used to be, which is one of my favorite restaurants. There's one over on Paradise, and there used to be one over at Boca Park. Again, that's in Summerlin, on Rampart and Charleston, basically. So the Gordon Biersch out, and this Mix Lounge has been popped in. So the overall ambiance is kind of cool, kind of warm, kind of hip. Definitely warmer than the Gordon Biersch vibe. Dark woods throughout the entire place. They opened up the patio. And it was kind of open before, but they've really opened it up quite a bit now, put giant screens out there. So they're clearly going after the Saturday, Sunday football thing, the Monday night football thing, Thursday football thing. Service was fantastic. Now, part of it may be because they're brand new and they wanted to do a good job, but they were on top of us the whole time, did a very, very, very good job. Drinks were fantastic. As a matter of fact, we did the valet parking there at Boca Park, and they gave us a coupon for 2 free drinks, which was also fantastic. So here's why they call this Mix. What they do is you order off a menu, but what you're really ordering is kind of like a salad bar, but with food stuff. So you say, I'm going to have, you know, these vegetables, I'm going to have this kind of meat, and you go down this thing with a bowl, and they put all these things in a bowl for you, all these different foods, and then you go here. Oops, no, you don't go there. You go here, you crazy bastard. You go there. And they have that big, giant cooking platform, circular cooking platform, where they're cooking all the food on the stove. But it's a big one, big giant circle one. All right, and there's Melissa, and you can see a close-up of what they do. We've seen that kind of thing in the Bay Area a few times, and it's pretty nifty. Now, here's a look at their appetizer menu. This is before you eat the cut-up stuff, and they actually bragged as having the largest appetizer menu in Vegas. I'm not sure if that's true, but it's pretty extensive. And then here you can see what they're doing from a selection perspective. So they have 28 of these social plates, 18 sauces and vegetables, 10 different proteins. I got to tell you, it was pretty cool. Now, the goo you put on it does matter. I forgot what Melissa put on, but hers was fantastic. I actually did a champagne vinaigrette, and it wasn't very strong, so you didn't really get a taste of that. So I would recommend not doing the champagne vinaigrette. They also are doing live music there, which, of course, I'm a big fan of. So go check out Mix Grill, and Lounge over at Boca Park. Real quick, I'm being told that the Raiders stadium vote has begun and that the state Senate has voted 16-5 to pass. So there are 5 sane people. God bless their little hearts. Assembly is going to vote, I think, tomorrow, maybe. Don't have word on those numbers, of course, yet. But everybody agrees that it's going to happen. Just to reiterate my issue with this, I have no problem with the potential of it bringing more business. Almost everybody who's analyzed stadiums say it doesn't do what they say it does. But even if I concede that, my issue is not that it will bring more business. My issue is that the deal as written, nobody would take. Nobody would take it. You can't ask me to pay 40%, invest 40%, and then agree to get no profit out of it. And I would never say, and you can put in 30% and there's no cap to the profit. That's what they're doing. That's the thing that I say is just unreasonable for us. I'm not even talking about the potential shitstorm that will happen when all these things that they say will happen won't. And who knows what's going to happen from a financial perspective to Vegas. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying from a business, nobody in business would take this. And it's being shoved down our collective throat. Okay, one more real quick story. I don't know if you guys remember this. Several years ago, I filed a small claims a lawsuit against somebody and won. And guess what? Scott's going to do it again. And this is about being pissed off about unprofessional people in Las Vegas. So last time it was because somebody didn't pay because of services rendered, and it's the same thing. So I've got this guy, a guy named Gus Scarless, and you know, this is a guy who signed up for the co-op 12 months, came in the first month, loved it, actually paid for extra consultation. I helped him tell the story, and he loved it. And then his credit card got stopped, stolen, he said. But he wrote over and over, oh, yeah, I'll pay. I'm just going to get my new card and we'll be good. And then a month later, he's like, no, I've decided I'm not going to pay you. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not how this works. Well, I sold my business and I don't need it. That's not how it works either. You signed an agreement that says you're just going to pay. So I really tried to say, okay, here are a couple options that will release you. And he basically told me to go fuck myself. And I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. So I'm suing him. And we're going to walk through this with you guys as this goes through, because it's interesting. One of the things that happens a lot in Las Vegas is people stiff other people. Little businesses are getting stiffed all the time from bastards like this guy who thinks it's okay. And they're betting on the fact that most people won't fight it. And as a matter of fact, most businesses will say, man, lawsuits are a pain in the ass. They take a lot of time. And they can cost a lot of money. And it's, you know, it's a negative thing. And so, you know, I know business people who say, just let it go. And maybe. But this guy was egregious and just kind of nasty about it. And I don't dig that. And part of me is like, you know, this is kind of like, this is what a con man does. He knows that small businesses aren't going to go to the work, so he can do whatever he wants. Now, come to find out, oh, Gus is a busy little beaver. You know, come to find out he's got not one business. Oh, no, he's got 12. And they're all going to a P.O. box over on East Maryland Parkway or whatever. Uh-oh. So clearly this guy's a scammer. But it didn't stop me. It actually made me angrier, because this is what this guy probably does. So the very first step to file a small claims suit in Nevada, in Las Vegas, is you have to send what's referred to as a letter of demand. I don't have a copy of it with me, but basically it has to be certified mail. It's got to be signature proven that he received it. And it states your case, right? Here's what I believe the facts are. Here's how much you owe me. Here's why you owe me it. Here's what's happened so far. You owe me this money. You know, guide yourself accordingly, and you've got 10 days to respond. So that has to happen first, and that has happened. So once that has happened, then after 10 days, if I don't hear from him, if he doesn't reach out to me and say, hey, all right, look, I just want to wrap this up and be done with it, and if we can come to some agreement, well, then we're done. If not, then we'll do what we did last time, is I'll file suit against him. And in Nevada, small claims limitation is $7,500. He doesn't owe me that much, but he owes me thousands, and we're going to go get it. All right, live chat questions. Here we go. First question from Pops. What kind of businesses are there too few of in Las Vegas? And if you were coming and could open any small business you wanted to, what would it be? Well, I would open up a business that hunted down cheaters and liars and people who don't pay their bills and get that money. I believe that's called a credit company or something like that. But I would like to see if that's a possibility. I actually went to somebody and they said for another deal, and they're like, it'd be too much of a pain in the ass to go get. I don't know that there are... nothing comes to mind, Pops, when it comes to too few businesses here. My business thinking is that I don't really think about the area so much as, is there a problem that I am aware of that I can solve? All the businesses that I have started have been based upon a very clear problem that needed to be solved, and I was in a place to be able to solve that. Other than that, nothing really comes to mind. There's a shitload of people opening businesses all the time, most of which fail. And most of them fail because they don't know what problem they do solve. You know, I've gotten a number of people who've come into our co-op studios and are very excited about what they do. And if I ask them what problem they solve, they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of neat. Oh, shit. You're in trouble, pal. Jimmy wants to know, what process would you use to become incorporated in Nevada? How does it work? Cost, etc. Jimmy asks a very good question. Nevada is among the top two states in the country that people incorporate in. We don't have a state income tax, which makes things very good, lower business tax, and a very strong veil of secrecy, or what they call the corporate veil between the people who run the business and the people out there. So first and foremost, if you do have your own business, being a sole proprietor is not a good idea. You really want to have a, incorporate. There's basically two kinds. Well, there's three. There's an LLC. There's more, but there's LLC, C Corp, and S Corp. C Corp is what big companies are. My very first company, which was Whitney Communication, was a C Corp, and that was stupid because in a C Corp, you get double taxed. And what I mean by that is a C Corp is its own entity and is taxed at its own entity. So if $100 came in, I got taxed on $100. Whitney Communications got taxed. And then if Whitney Communications paid me, if I was an employee, which I was, well, then my payroll gets taxed. That's double taxation. So if you're a small business doing a C Corp, bad. So the real decision is between an S Corp and an LLC, and that really depends on the structure of your business. So typically, if you have a lot of partners, LLCs are better. If you're your own person, you don't have a lot of partners, but you're a small business, S Corps are good. Mine are S Corps. And the reason is because you get to take advantage of the business taxes and the write-offs as you normally would. But the income actually funnels right down to your personal tax. So while you file, like Podworks is an S-Corp. So I file a Podworks tax return every year, but I send no money in. I just say, here's what Podworks earned or lost. And thank God, earned. And then whatever that profit in then trickles down into my personal income. So it's easy to manage that way. And the vast majority of folks do that. So what I would recommend, now I happen to have two co-op members who are in the business of doing this. One of them is called Nevada Corporate Headquarters. They've done over 50,000 incorporations for companies. As a matter of fact, Court Christie, who is the president of Nevada Corporate Headquarters, is about ready to start a new show on the network in January. Still playing with the name, but basically it's, you know, how do I start a business and build it to $1 million? And he's going to be the host of this show. We're going to do it every couple of weeks on the Vegas Video Network, beginning January 5th is the start. Also, I have another one. I just forgot the name of those guys. Oh, damn it. Send me an email, Jimmy, if you want to know. I'll be happy to let you know who these guys are. Okay. And by the way, because you are starting your own business, Jimmy, I will have a drink upon you, my friend. Have a drink on me. Have a drink on me. Come on. Time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a casino pub or a speakeasy or something like that. And you send in your guesses. Now, if you send in your guess and you're selected, you can win some pretty groovy stuff. Is that right? Tell them, pups!
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs. Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Haddam entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. Mm-hmm. Next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney. Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. Couple ways to increase the probability of winning. If you send in a correct answer, that gives you one opportunity. We'll put your name in a hat. If you're in the live chat and you send in a correct answer, we'll give you another entry, so we double your pleasure. If you provide one of those opening videos, those intro videos, you get yourself another entry. If you send us a video Haddam entry, well, you get yourself another entry. So there are an opportunity to do, I don't know, Pops probably has 15 entries any given day. You too can do that. All right. Oh, almost forgot. Or did I? There is an opportunity to change who you are and what you are all about if you play your cards right. If you end up getting one of these here Vegas Video Network visors, and that's real embroidery right there. We're not gluing stuff on. It's not a sticker, for the love of God. This is real stuff here. You get one of those things because you won. You take yourself a picture and you send it to us. Guess what happens? Oh, my God, magically, you become a member of the galaxy of God. There's Rosie and there is Michael and Scott and Binky and Bud and Alan and Aaron. They're nudists who didn't get the memo. And there is Bob and his wife. There's Danny and Shan, not Chan. And Craig and Glenn and Jimmy and Bob. And there in Hawaii is Ken and Stuart. And Christina, who's all babies are because of my music. And Don and Jackie and Mike. And Pops, who learned how to swim because of the tornado. And Sammy and wait, there's more. There's Carol and a dog, and Chris's heart almost stopped, and Brett's dead and Scott, and there's your buddy Wayne, and let's not forget, of course, our buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Brett. All right, here we go. We had 22 out of 23 correct answers. It's a reminder of last week's Have a Drink on Me. Here is the picture. And the clues were Aurora. At the Luxor, Aurora, Aurora. Thank you. Oh, there you go. 22 out of 23. It was actually 100%, but somebody's going to get themselves in a little bit of trouble. All right, the very first entry. La-da-dee, la-da-da. Jimmy 2G's. He gets one for the... Oh, no, he doesn't. Because Jimmy's being greedy. Jimmy won last week. I sent Jimmy an email. Jimmy hasn't written back. Or if he did, the internet gods ate it. But Jimmy was trying to go for a twofer in a row. Jimmy, bad Jimmy.
Tomahawk said no.
Bad Jimmy.
Tomahawk said no.
Mike, what do you think about that? Sorry, Jimmy. So the real number one would be Monica Fagan from Chicago, a previous winner. Monica gets one for the correct answer, and Monica gets another one. She goes by Binky for being the first correct, fair, not cheating answer. Are you hearing me, brother? Okay, next up we've got Mike Q, one for the correct answer, and one for being in the live chat. Mike Q is from PDX. He likes to create his own bullets. Stay the hell away from Mike. All right. Bob Thomas from St. Augustine. One for the correct answer. Way to go, Bubby. Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. One for the correct answer. Andy in New Hampshire. Beautiful New Hampshire. Very cold and crappy. One for the correct answer. All right. Robert C., also known as Robbo68, Pittsburgh. Oftentimes hanging out in the live chat. Don't see him today, though. There he goes. One for the correct answer. Tammy Mossbrucker, one for the correct answer. Erin Perry. Erin is the talented young lady who creates these bad boys. Look at that. How about that? Three-dimensional. And the lotto numbers are in the back. See how she put the lotto numbers? That's pretty cool. Okay. Thank you, Erin. And we continue on. Kevin Whip from Connecticut, known as Canada. We actually got two or three people from Canada watching us right now in the live chat. Michael Gerzewski. Hope I didn't mispronounce that. Thanks, Mike. Continuing on. La-da-dee, Yeah, Steve O'Reilly Finch. That's, you know, you can tell that Steve is probably a very sophisticated man. Here's the thing about Steve. He's a new listener, new viewer. Steve gets one for the correct answer, and Steve is in the live chat. Way to go, Steve. I kind of want to think his wife's name is probably Buffy. Buffy. Yes, Mr. Riley Finch. Would you please bring the Cadillac out? The Cadillac? What are you, slumming? Two. There you go, Stevie. Michael Snow, often referred to as Chicago Snowman. One for the correct answer. And Chicago Snowman is in the live chat. What's going on, brother? And so he gets a double as well. Look at that. Just hanging out, having a good time, probably having a Scotty Sour. He gets a double. Oh, he actually was writing some stuff, too. I forgot to write that down. Okay. Brett Barnes. Brett writes, thanks from Paradise, California. Steve I from Prescott, Michigan, I think. Steve I, he's always in the live chat. There he is. Steve I is one of the greatest men ever. Very much of a giver. One for the correct answer. Oops, there he is. Anyways, P.S., have you seen the Why Steve Wynn Supports the Stadium on YouTube? No, because I know what he's going to say. But the real question is not, have I seen a video where he supports it? Fuck. All the casino owners support it. The real question is, hey, Steve, you had an opportunity to invest in the beginning like your buddy Sheldon. Why didn't you invest? That's the question to ask him. All right. Continuing on, Mike Lazowski, also known as Mad Chipmunk. Don't you want to know where he got that name? I certainly do. And he writes, thank you for doing the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Well, you're right. You're welcome, Mike. And he gets two, one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Thank you, my brother. And we continue. Next up, we got Rosie, the intern, one for the correct answer. Rosie writes, hi, Scott. The answer for this week's Adam is Aurora at Luxor. My high school Latin teacher, Mrs. Wood, will be very disappointed in me if I haven't had to cheat by using the Google. Second clue, Roman goddess Aurora, Latin for dawn. That's right, as you recall, she's the person who announces the coming of the sun every morning. All right, continuing on, Brian M., one for the correct answer. And Brian, all right. And Brian, is that you in the live chat as well? We have a Brian in the live chat. Brian writes, greetings, Scott. After watching the original movie Tron back in the day, that isn't saying Brian. All right, let me get him, Brian. I immediately became a proton defender of the galaxy, after which I began to ponder, could there possibly be a neutron coming out soon? Clearly, Brian does drugs. With this grand collection of Trons bouncing around in my cerebral casing, I began to deconstruct this week's Adam to its base pair sequences and finally came up with what is possibly the most aggressive bellow that could emanate from a Spanish lioness, Aurora. Therefore, I have positively concluded that this week's Adam is indeed the Aurora at Luxor. Phew. From yours truly, Brian M. Brian, do you hear that sound right there? Hold on, let me get it. Let me find it. They're coming to take you away. Ha-ha. They're coming to take you away. Ho-ho. Hee-hee. Ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is gay and everybody's proud. But he gets two. Because he's playing along. Don't be afraid. Mike, probably need to up the dosage a little bit. Knock back a little bit more of that Xanax. Okay, Laura Meekin from the UK. Laura writes, one for the correct answer. Haha, Scott. This week, the picture was enough to guess the bars, Aurora and the Luxor. Their lights above the bar mimic or are made to look like the Aurora Borealis, or as they are commonly known, the Northern Lights, which we can sometimes see here on the east coast of Scotland. The clues, though, a wee bit harder. Have a great week. Thank you, Laura. Thank you very much. You're a lovely guy. Laura is one of the first people that always comments on our YouTube videos. I appreciate that, Laura. Thank you. Alan Perry, one for the correct answer. Alan is in the live chat. Alan writes. Now, Alan usually writes long emails. Alan I think he's starting to buy into this whole retirement thing. Here's what Alan says. La-da-dee. Hi, guys. The Haddam Bar this week is Aurora at Luxor. I have to say that the clues this week were outstanding. Scott, they just keep getting better and better. Alan Perry, Prescott, Arizona. Thank you, buddy. Also, thank you for this, because it's the Perrys who provided the Exo Crown for this here show. What's that? Oh, Mike Q. Did I say you? You dropped out. There you are, Mike. You're in there twice, if I didn't put you in there. All right. Mike's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm always here. I probably just put you in 1,000 times. Who knows? Okay. Was that Alan Perry? Thank you, buddy. You're welcome, Alan. And next up, we've got Mike Beattie. One for the correct answer. Mike writes, dear Scott, this week's Haddam is Aurora. Enjoyed last week's show, and P.S., Rosie was right. Cheetahs is the best.
Tomahawk said no.
All right, Mike. Does it disturb anybody besides myself that Rosie would know that cheetahs is the best? It doesn't make me happy. All right, finally, we've got Gene the Dancing Machine. One for the correct answer. You know Miss Pops. One for being in the live chat. And one for the upcoming video. But I am going to read his emails. We're all very happy that Pops has made it here in the live chat. He's in the Florida. He tussled with, was it Michael? Let's see what Gene, or Pops as we know him, says. Hey, Scott, this week's Haddam is Aurora at Luxor. Nobody could be as surprised as I am that I'm able to participate this week. One place, our place is a little island of relatively undamaged property amidst miles and miles of devastation. All I lost was some patio furniture. I received well wishes and prayers from several of the kind folks in the live chat. That's right. We're a pretty groovy group, these live chatters. during the ordeal. What a great bunch of people. Thanks to all. It's solo week. Remember to take a drink break. Thank you, Pops. Scotty Sour. All right. P.S., since the place is still standing, in case I win, here's my mailing address. All right. Pops follows up with this video triumph.
Hey, kids. Let me start out tonight by saying how glad I am to be here. Hell, after last Friday, I'm glad to be anywhere. We're all still alive, still got the ranch, still got my visor, still got your jazz-a-thon, and of course, it's still got
these nuts!
This week's correct Haddam answer is Aurora at Luxor. Oh, not that Aurora, this Aurora. Yeah, Aurora at Luxor. I really like Luxor. It's way down south end of the strip. It's a little bit older, beginning to get a little bit run down, but that makes them compete, try harder to get some of that business from the trendy mid-strip properties. Got a good close look at their top shelf. It's not as high-end as some of the places I've seen, but like I said, they've got to compete, so maybe the prices are a little bit better. Got a very unique lighting fixture over the bar that changes color, hence the name Aurora. It looks kind of like the Aurora Borealis as it ripples with color. Nice place, good people. I like Luxor. Thanks, this is a good one, Scott.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Pops, everybody. 4.5-time winner. Look at that. That's interesting. Oh, running out of juice. Didn't last very long. Okay, here we go. What did I say the over-under was for 63? Oh, man, just went a hair over. Here we go. And our winner and still champion is Steve Riley Finch, Island Steve. I believe he is a first-time winner. 285. Congratulations, Steve. I'm going to send you an email where you can select a visor or a CD or a drink on your buddy Scott. Okay, let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Hit number one. This place used to be shiny. Gossy. Hit number one. This place used to be shiny. Gossy. Hit number two. Yeah, you got to figure Liz Taylor probably liked hanging out this here locale. Hit number two, gotta figure Liz Taylor probably dug this here place. And finally, hit number three, not to be confused with moving forcefully or roughly. Not to be confused with moving forcefully or roughly. If you know the answer, please send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. There you go, everybody. Thanks to the live chat, folks, for hanging out. I appreciate that. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, a couple ways that you can do that. You can go on our homepage and leave an email. I'm sorry, you can leave us an email at onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you prefer to leave us a voicemail, you don't even have to use your phone. You can go to our website, click that little red tab on the right side, and then click that little box that pops up to leave us a voicemail because you have a microphone attached to your computer. We're also on social media stuff. We're on your iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review, would you? And we're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with your friends. And besides those two guys, we're on Roku, Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google Fire TV, Google Play, and of course the VegasVideoNetwork.com website. I'm Scott Winnie. Thank you so much for playing along. We'll see you guys next week on the Vegas Video Network. Take care, everybody. Do 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 do